Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. When you look at the book of Romans, you see a lot of doctrine, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. But here in Romans chapter number 8, I can hear Paul's heart for people. Listen to what he says, what he writes down. Of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I got a feeling that some of us walk in condemnation today. Even though we know Jesus Christ our Savior, we feel condemned. We feel like the world is against us. We feel like people are against us. We feel like everybody else is trying to do us wrong. May I tell you this morning, if you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. God has freed you through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, if you have trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, put your name right there next to verse number 1, because it's telling you you're not condemned. Not because of your effort, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Verse number 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You are free. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Why? "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We can't make it on our own. We can't keep the law in our own merit. There's nothing we can do to make God happy. Absolutely not. "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." Jesus Christ has appeased God. And therefore, we are no longer condemned in our sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ your Savior, you're not condemned. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the freedom we have in Christ because of what He has done. Lord, I stand before you condemned in my efforts. I stand before you condemned in trying to keep the law. But God, thank you that when you look at me, you see the blood in spite of me. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for Him changing me. I thank you for Him making me a brand new creature. And I thank you, Father, that I'm not condemned. Help me to live a life that is not in condemnation. Help me to walk with you and point others to you. Forgive me as I fail you. I don't like it. Help me, Father, to walk with you and bring you honor and glory. I pray, Lord, that you would indeed free us this morning to walk in the newness of life. Help us to walk a life that brings you honor and glory, realizing that we cannot do it, but only you can through Jesus Christ. So today, let us walk and rejoice. I know there's some broken hearts in here this morning. There's some people who are dealing with some heavy stuff. Lord, our community is hurting. Young people are dealing with all kinds of issues. Our children, our teenagers, our young adults, they're just struggling. Lord, speak to them. Comfort them. Bring them peace. Help us, Father, to be an example to the world around us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for His sacrifice for us. God, thank you that He died. But, oh, Lord, thank you that He rose again and that He's right now sitting beside you, making intercession for us with His prayers and with His blood. For it's in His precious name I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Scott, come on up.
Hello, I want to give an announcement for our local opportunity. Remember that we're collecting food for Congregations for Children, is what they're calling it. So when the kids come to school, they get the two meals at school, but when they go home, some of the kids at Christmas break don't have that food at home, and then they're not getting the school food. So that's why we're collecting. So what we want to bring, you'll see some baskets out there, bring food that they can open and eat themselves, like granola bars, that sort of thing. So be reminded that next Sunday is the last opportunity to bring for that. So that's a local mission opportunity, and let's talk about the missionaries that we support. So one of the missionary families that we support, their name are the Wanzers, and they serve in Hawaii. So they say aloha from the Wanzer Ohana. So they're thankful that they've been missionaries, and one of the things they have in their letter is that on December 29th, their son Landon turned 16, and that's cool just because their son has turned 16, but it says in the letter that they started missionary work abroad when they were pregnant with him. So that's always a landmark they can remember, and they celebrate that as well. So we're going to pray for Landon, and then their daughter just got married on November 11th, so we're going to pray for them. Kaysen is the man that Dixie married, and so we're going to pray for them. So the opportunity that they have there in Hawaii is that they serve a lot of homeless people, and they're growing a church, and so they like to serve in the community to the homeless, and then they're building and discipling that way. So we're going to pray for that. And then they had, if you remember back in the summer, I think it was, the devastating fires they had in Maui. And so they've had a lot of opportunities to help people that went through the horrors of that. So, and then personally, Michael's dad, Michael is the dad, and Victoria's the mom, and they have started the church there. Michael's dad, Dan Wanzer, has gotten cancer. That's a return, so we're going to pray for them. And then they're praising the Lord because Victoria's foot has healed. That's a praise that they shared. So I thought this was really good. So in the last quarter of the year, listen to this, we're intensely focusing on equipping leaders to preach the gospel and teach the Bible to future generations. In traditional Hawaiian culture and farming, leaders would prepare for and plan for the next seven generations. Isn't that something? So their tradition is to prepare for the next seven generations. And so that has encouraged them that they really want to teach the people in their community to be able to spread the gospel generation after generation. And the way we do that is we help the kids learn the gospel, and we teach young adults to be teachers of the word. So that's what they're going to be focusing on, and let's pray for them along those lines. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity to help missionaries around the world. And we pray for the Wanzers in Hawaii. We pray for those that have been devastated by fires in Maui. We pray that you would turn that for good and that many would be saved. And we pray for Michael and Victoria and family witnessing and helping those that are homeless and those that have beautiful homes hear the gospel. We all need the gospel. And we pray for Kaysen and Dixie in their marriage. Pray that you would bless them as they continue to serve the Lord. And then I pray that you use Landon and encourage him in his school as he turns 16. Lord, help us to be an encouragement to our missionaries and to those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I did want to mention, too, that they said that their pastor and some other people from their congregation in Cleveland, Tennessee, went out to help them spread the gospel in Hawaii. So remember that it can be a fun vacation going to Hawaii, but you could also go and serve the Lord. But with that said, we have missionaries all over the world. If you ever wanted to use your vacation, like going to Hawaii, we have missionaries in New Zealand. There's some great places that, and France that you could go use your vacation time to have fun and see the world, but also spread the gospel. So if you want to do that, let me know, and I'll get you set up with that.
Amen. Amen. And Scott will pay for your trip. Amen. Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, come on forward. We'll take up our offering this morning. Come on down, fellas. All right, we got one. We got two. Three and four. There we go. Amen. Brother Joe, would you please pray for the offering, sir? Amen. Amen. Justin.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody stand, if you will, please, and join us as we fellowship around and sing a little bit this morning. We're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven. It's in your book, in your church hymnal, on page 393, and hopefully on the screen also. There we go. When we all get to heaven. Singing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
This morning, we'd like to welcome any visitors that we have with us this morning. Any visitors that want to raise their hand so we can ridicule you? Nobody's raising their hand. I don't know why. All right. So if you're a visitor here this morning, we welcome you. We welcome our normal people here this morning and those that are not so normal. And glad to have you with us this morning. Let's sing that next verse. And after while we're singing, the choir will come down, okay?
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Y'all fellowship around a little bit. Hug each other's neck as the choir's coming on down. Sing it out now.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus.
Okay, now we're going to sing a Christmas song. And last on Wednesday nights, for those of y'all that maybe can't make it up here, or on Wednesday nights, we normally have a little bit of singing, and we give an opportunity for somebody to select a song or two. So this last Wednesday, it was still in November, and somebody selected a Christmas song. And I'm just giving you warning. I'm not singing Christmas songs in October. No, end of November is my limits. This morning, joy to the world. Amen.
Amen.
Joy to the world. It'll be on the screen.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Amen.
Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Kids can be dismissed to children's church. We'll sing one more verse.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that.
You'll play that video, please. The video I had planned. You don't have it? It's all right. Can you hear it? Can you hear the cry? Can you hear the heartache? Can you hear the sound? Maybe it's in the very pew that you're sitting. Maybe it's in a household far away. Maybe it's in a phone call that you've had this week. Maybe it's inside of your soul right now. That cry of pain, that cry of uncertainty, that cry of failure, that cry of, oh God, help me. Can you hear it this morning? We all struggle. We all have anguish. We all have uncertainty. But this morning, in this world, there's a lot more of that going on, it seems. We see the things going on in the Middle East. We see the things going on in Ukraine. We see the things taking place in Washington, D.C. But do you see the things going on in Swain County? Do you see the things going on in your neighborhood, maybe in your home? And are you looking to heaven saying, oh God, when is it going to get better? May I tell you this morning, it's going to get better. It's going to be all right. When, Brother Brian? When? Well, let's look what the Scripture says this morning. The anguish that some of us are feeling. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 40. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? The song that I wanted them to play, the video that we had all set up, was called Oh Come Emmanuel. That's a beautiful song. And the words of the song is the prayer of the people who were singing it. Oh come, Emmanuel, and save Israel. Here in Isaiah chapter number 40, God is telling the prophet Isaiah to deliver a message. Now the people of Israel at this very moment, they are in anguish and they are in Babylon and they have been captured and they have been taken from their homeland. As they have left Jerusalem and headed towards Babylon in capture, they can look back and they can see the fires and raging and they can see the walls broken down and they can remember the families that have been slaughtered. And as they're going towards an uncertain future, their heart is crying out, "Oh God, when will you deliver us? Oh God, you have told us that you'd never abandon or forsake us. You have promised to always be with us." And they're crying out. Can you hear it? We've got neighbors and friends, young people, older people, who are crying out this morning, "Oh God, help." They may not be saying those very words, but their lives are demonstrating it. You may be crying out this morning, "God, help me." You may be struggling. It may be a sin that you're dealing with. It may be an issue that you're uncertain about. And you're crying out, "God, help me." Where can we find that relief? We can find it right here. Look what God tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. He says, "I want you to bring comfort to the people. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah, tell the people, it's going to be okay. Tell the people the worst is over. Tell the people that their iniquities have been forgiven. Tell the people that the payment is done. May I tell you this morning, comfort! Comfort! Not from me. I can't bring you comfort. I can't bring you peace. I can say a few words and I can pray with you and I can hug your neck and I can cry with you, but I can't bring you real comfort. The only comfort that we really need is comfort from the Lord. And God tells Isaiah, "Isaiah, tell the people it's going to be okay." They say, "Now wait a minute, Brother Brian. They're in jail. They're in captivity in Babylon." We read later on in the book of Jeremiah and the rest of Isaiah, you read in the book of Lamentations, you see the people crying out. Matter of fact, it says in the book of Psalms that they're so upset that they hang their instruments on the trees because they can't even play them anymore. That they're so broken. And you say, "Well, Brother Brian, how in the world can you bring comfort to them?" You bring them comfort by telling them that they've been forgiven. You bring them comfort from the Word of God where it says, "Trust in the Lord." You bring them comfort by telling them, "Jesus saves." You bring them comfort by telling them the truth. They don't have to live that way anymore. They can get out of the dregs of society. They can get out of the filth and the mire of sin. Trust Jesus Christ. I can't bring you comfort, but I can tell you of the one who brings comfort. He hung on a cross. His name is Jesus Christ. Go to Deuteronomy, if you would, with me real quick. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Comfort. Can you hear it? Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse number 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 27. There's always been a time when the world's in turmoil. There's always been a time where people are hurting. There's always been a time when we feel like we've been captured and abandoned. There's always been that time. But look what God says here in verse 27 of chapter 33. He says, "The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall destroy them. The refuge. When I think of the word refuge, I think of a safe place that nobody can get to. I remember growing up, as many of us have, and I remember growing up and being scared to death about a noise in the night. Some of you are still struggling with that. And you're sleeping soundly, all of a sudden a noise breaks out and you're wondering, what is going to happen? Who is that? Is it ghosts? Is it under my bed? Is it in my closet? And what's the first thing you do? Hide under the blankets, because monsters can't get under blankets. And you take refuge under the blankets, unless you're married to a monster, but that's another story. But you hide under the blankets thinking, I'm safe in here. This is my refuge. Nobody can get to me here. May I tell you, if you belong to Jesus Christ, He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your protector. He is your provider. He is your forgiver. He doesn't condemn you. You had a rough night last night. You had a rough week this week. You failed over and over, and you feel like God doesn't love you. May I tell you, God loves you. Stop depending upon yourself. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to figure out a way. God is your refuge. And He's got His arms open wide and said, come to me, my child. You say, well, Brother Brian, I don't see Him and I don't feel Him. Well, look around. There are people who love you, who want to be the arms of Jesus to you. He is our comfort and our peace. But then look at the very profound fact that it says after that. It says, He is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, why in the world would His arms be underneath to catch us? To catch us when we need that comfort and peace. To catch us when we fall. To keep us from being bashed against the rocks. To catch us. Do you need that catching this morning? We say, it's all well and good that God is my refuge, but sometimes I don't feel like there's nothing beneath me. May I tell you that the everlasting arms of God is right there. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know how you're dealing with life, and I don't know what's going on, but may I tell you, I'm crying unto you this morning. God is your comfort. God is your peace. And God loves you. But this morning you say, well, Brother Brian, I don't feel it. I'm glad that salvation is not based upon feelings. Salvation is based upon fact. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you have received Jesus Christ, your Savior, if you had trusted Christ and Christ alone for salvation, you have the everlasting arms. You have the refuge. And that's the greatest comfort I can give you. My words can't bring comfort. But the everlasting arms, they bring you comfort. So cry out and hear the voice that says, it's going to be okay. I'm comforting you. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Look at verses number 3. Do you hear the cry of comfort? Now let's look at the cry of ministry. Isaiah 40, verse number 3 says this, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, and this is what that voice cries, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The cry of ministry, and it's all of our responsibilities. We receive the cry of comfort. We receive the Holy Spirit speaking to us and bringing us comfort. But it's our job then to spread that word. It's our job then to reach out to our neighbor. It's our job to reach out to our family member, our co-worker, our fellow student. It's our job to then reach out and tell them of the comfort of Jesus. It's not our job to solve their problems. It's not my job to solve your problems, because I can't. Because if I help you, if I solve one problem, you got 2 billion more to solve. If you solve one of my problems, guess what? I got a whole boatload to give to you. Could I get a witness? Our job is to tell of the comfort of God. To tell of the comfort of Jesus Christ, and then to help each other walk in that. To come alongside and help. The easiest illustration I can think of is on a football field when there's an injured player. Not to the point of having to bring the cart out. But when the injured football player has to get off the field and they can't get off by themselves, two people come alongside and put their arms around them and help them off the field. Knowing that the player can't make it in their own strength, but he's got somebody walking with him to help him. May I tell you, you can't make it off the field on your own. There's people around you that want to put their arms right with you and take you off the field and help you when you get there. May I tell you, are you that person? What about y'all over here? Are you that person that's going to bring comfort of ministry? Are you that one that's going to reach out and touch? How about y'all in the middle here? I know y'all are here, not going to do it, but right here in the middle. How about it? Will you come and put your arms around somebody and comfort them and tell them of Jesus? Well, Brother Brian, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know the words. I get all tongue-tied when... Well, listen. You know the best way to do it is just tell them what Jesus did for you. Tell them how He saved your sorry soul. Tell them how He delivered you from hell. Tell them Isaiah chapter 40. Tell them. Because this world needs comfort. We got young people taking their lives. We've got marriages crumbling. We've got people just giving up. Can you hear their cries? Can you hear their hearts? Tell them of Jesus. Tell them of Jesus. Be that cry of ministry. Be that cry of ministry. Matter of fact, go to Matthew chapter 11 with me real quick. Matthew chapter 11. Be that cry of ministry. Bring that comfort. Matthew chapter number 11. Tell them of Jesus. Tell them what Jesus does. Show them. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Come unto me, Jesus said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will make your burden greater. Why is it we think that? Why is it we're so desirous of our own way, thinking that somehow God's going to make our burden greater? No, Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be the minister that tells people of the rest in Jesus Christ. Be the minister that walks along somebody struggling in sexual sin. Be the minister that walks next to somebody who's struggling with drugs or in alcohol. Be the minister to somebody struggling in their marriage. Be the minister to that student that's struggling in school. Be that one that's going to step up to the plate and tell them of Jesus. But don't just tell them, show them. Well, that blows it for me, Brother Brian. I can't show them, love them, help them. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." The cry of ministry. Look at the next cry. Go to Isaiah 40 real quick. Go back. The next cry that we hear, verses number 4 and 5 here, Isaiah. It says, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." You know what that is? That's the cry of hope. That's the cry of hope. There's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The hope of something that's going to take place. Well, Brother Brian, I've been hearing of it for years. I've been hearing about Jesus Christ is going to come, and it hasn't happened yet. When's it going to take place? Man, if I knew that, I'd write lots of books and make a lot of money. I don't know when it's going to take place, but I trust that it's going to take place. I have faith in believing because God's Word has said it. See, because we see here, it says that every valley shall be exalted. It means lifted up. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. That hasn't happened yet. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The cry of hope. Are you out of hope this morning? Are you about to the last pinch of hope that you've ever had? Well, Brother Brian, I've gone to the cupboard and I have no hope anymore. And I don't know what to do. May I tell you, there's hope in Jesus Christ. You make it sound so simple, Brother Brian. You make it sound so simple that all I got to do is cry unto God and He'll show up. You know what I do when I have no hope? Do you really want to know? I cry out to God, "Oh God, I got to have help. I'm not any different than you. I don't have it made more than you do." And may I tell you, God doesn't love me any more than He... Well, maybe a little bit more. I'm just teasing. No, God doesn't love me any more than He loves you. Matter of fact, let me show you a passage of hope. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, way over in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 5. A promise of hope. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 6 and 7. If there's anybody that knew about hope, it was Peter. You remember him? He's the one that denied Jesus 3 times before he was crucified. You remember? He's the one that said, "I don't know that man." If there's anybody you would think that have no hope, it'd be Peter. But then that morning, after Jesus' resurrection, he met him on the lake shore. "Peter, do you love me?" Ask him that question 3 times. "You know I love you." Jesus simply said, "I want you to serve me." Now, what can be worse than denying Jesus Christ? But yet, Peter still had hope because God gave it to him. Look what Peter writes here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." That's hope. He doesn't say, "Try harder." He doesn't say, "Pay a lot of money." He doesn't say, "Go to church." He doesn't say, "D-d-d-d-d." He says, "Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you." It can't be that simple, Brother Brian. Come on. Come on. Surely I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. No. Trusting what God's Word says. And when you do that, God does what needs to be done. That's the cry of hope. The cry of hope. Do you have that this morning? I don't have that hope. Well, you can have it through Jesus Christ. Go back to Isaiah 40 real quick. I'm getting tired of turning in my Bible, Brother Brian. I don't ever want to stop sharing God's Word with you. That's where our hope is found. Isaiah chapter 40, one more time. We see the cry of comfort. We see the cry of ministry. We see the cry of hope. Now let's look at the cry of truth. Verse number 6. The voice said, God said, Isaiah, tell the people this. Cry. And he said, what shall I cry? God, what do you want me to tell them? I want you to tell them that all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's temporary. Our pain and our suffering is temporary. If you're so enamored with this world and you're so enamored with the flesh and you're so enamored with things that are going to fade away and burn up one day anyway, may I tell you, take your eyes off of them and put your eyes upon Jesus. Stop wallowing in your sin. Stop wallowing in your failures. Stop blaming other people. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and listen to the truth of His Word. Satan hates you and he'll lie to you every moment of every day if he can. He'll tell you you're a failure. He'll tell you you can't do it. He'll tell you there's no hope. He'll tell you there is no God. He'll tell you it cannot happen. May I tell you, Satan is a stinking liar. But the Word of God is sure. Satan will tell you, you have all the power in yourself. Satan will tell you, do what the flesh wants. Just go ahead and do like Nike says. Just do it. That's what Satan will tell you. God says, trust me. God says, I'm the one that will handle it. The truth of God's Word. Go with John chapter number 10 with me. The cry of truth. John chapter 10. Or John chapter 14, I'm sorry, not John 10. John chapter 14. John chapter 10 is good too, but John 14. Jesus is meeting with his disciples, upper room, getting ready to leave them. They're bewildered, they're scared. They don't know what's going on. He said, I'm going to be crucified. They don't understand that. Look what he says. I go to prepare a place for you, he says in verse 1. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, like many of us, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus, you said you're going somewhere, and we've heard it, but I'm still not sure. I'm sure that many of us could raise our hand this morning identifying with that. Sometimes I need to know the way. Sometimes I'm pretty dense. How many of you are married to someone who's dense? Oh, come on, ladies. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the truth. The world offers you the truth of all kinds of ways to find happiness and satisfaction. The world says there's many paths to God. The world says you can be good enough. Jesus said, no, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You say, well, Brother Brian, that doesn't seem very comforting. That seems pretty narrow-minded. Well, if you look at it that way, it can be. But if instead, if you look at it, hey, I want to know truth. That's the truth. I can trust that truth. Hallelujah. I don't have to doubt it no more. That's the way I look at it. Jesus doesn't promise us a rose garden. Jesus doesn't promise us that everything's going to be smooth. As a matter of fact, he told us there's going to be persecution. There's going to be tribulation. But then he says, take comfort. I have overcome the world. That's the truth. Can you hear it? You say, well, Brother Brian, that's all well and good. And let's say, suppose this morning I come forward and I make it right with God and I get on my knees and I ask God to forgive me and I ask God for all these things. But then what next? Well, if you know you've done wrong, ask God to forgive you and then get help. Come along with somebody who loves you and wants to help you in that. Stop doing it and then ask somebody to help you stop doing it. That hope. If you're bewildered this morning and say, God, I need wisdom, I need help, ask Him. The Bible says in the book of James, if you lack wisdom, ask God, He'll give you the wisdom that you need. Stop relying upon yourself. You may say, Brother Brian, I don't have forgiveness. I don't even have Jesus. Well, you're in the best place you could be at this very moment. Place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior this morning. This is the place to do it. The cry of hope. Can you hear it? Did you guys find that song yet? Would you play it for me? Thank you. Rejoice. Forgiveness has come in the form of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. What do you need this morning? Forgiveness? Do you need hope? Do you need peace? It's found through Jesus Christ. Rejoice. He is alive, and He is here today. Let's stand together. Rejoice. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life, but may I tell you, it's not like anybody hasn't been through that already. It's not like you're alone, because truth be told, there's a broken heart in every pew this morning. There's a struggling family. There's people who are needing hope. And may I tell you that hope is found in Christ. And then Christ has brought us together to help one another. Will you reach out? Reach out to God. And then reach out to your fellow man to help and to find help. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you need that hope that is found in Jesus Christ? Would you lift your hand up this morning? I need that hope, Brother Brian. Amen. How many of you know somebody who needs that hope? Would you raise your hand this morning? Show them that hope in your life. And number three, how many are thankful for that hope in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Whew. So here's the invitation time this morning. You need hope? Come. Let us show you from the Bible how you can find hope in Christ. You need to show somebody hope? Ask God to give you the words and the opportunity. Maybe you just want to say, thank you, God, for what you have in Christ. Whatever the need is this morning, the altar is open. As Miss Doris begins to play, won't you come this morning? I'll meet you down here and pray if you'd like. But we'll show you. We'll pray with you. We'll love you. And help you walk in Christ. Won't you come this morning?